We're continuing with the, going through the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. They're important chapters. There's a lot of firsts in these particular chapters. And we've looked at some of them. The first home, God created everything. We saw that. We saw the first marriage. We saw the a lot of firsts. Anyway, the first covenant. So now we're going to come to Genesis 4, and this really is about Cain. Cain and Abel. And let me read a few verses here just to start. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, many of you know these accounts or these stories in Genesis. Shakespeare wrote this: all the world's a stage, and all the men and women are merely players. And then he said this: they all have their exits and their entrances, and a man in his time plays many roles. You know, in a lot of ways, that's very true. You're known by a lot of names. You might be known, I'm known as Pastor, Jeff, Dad, Poppy. I don't know what else, anything else people might call me, but whatever it is, we all have a lot of other names, and we fill a lot of roles. And so that's true for all of us. And those relate to the various people that we confront in different circumstances. But let me say this. We should allow God to write the script. We should allow God to choose the cast, and we should allow the Lord to direct the action. And if we disregard him, and if we try to produce the drama ourselves, the story will end in tragedy. It'll have a tragic end, just like this story here in Genesis chapter 4 will have. It'll have a tragic end. This is exactly what ruined and happened to Cain. He did not follow the Lord's script. He was the first baby that was born on the earth, very, very first one. And so that's the first here, the first baby born. He ignored God's script, and you know what he did? He did his own thing. And he absolutely made a mess out of it. Now, Genesis 4 mentions Cain 15 times, and it mentions 7 times Abel as identified as Cain's brother. Now, as we look at Cain's life, and we won't get through this chapter tonight, and some of the roles that he played, you need to understand how important it is for us to know God and God's will. Because Cain, he missed it. He just missed it. So let's look at some of this. First of all, we notice that he's a brother. Verses 1 and 2, and Adam knew his wife. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. So the first thing we notice that Cain was a brother. Now, God had told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth. Told them that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. And they did so. And in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, in the days of Adam after he begat Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Now, how many that he begat, I have no idea. I just know that he had a lot of sons and he had a lot of daughters, and he did what God told him to do. Now, it is true that the building of a family isn't the only purpose for marriage. And not every marriage is blessed with children. But it is also true that children are a precious gift from God, and they should be welcomed with joy. Now, is sanctity of human life coming up this Sunday? Or was it last Sunday? You guys don't know any more than I know, man. I think it's the Sunday coming up. But anyway, this week on the Christian radio, if you listen to it at all, they're talking a lot about abortion. And even though abortion is down from it was in 2014, there are still nearly 1 million babies aborted every year in America. 1 million. That's a lot. And that's down from where it was. In our society, we live out Romans chapter 1, unnatural affections. How can somebody... It doesn't even make sense. But they're lost, and their minds are reprobate, and they just do ungodly things, and they have unnatural affections. So the philosophy of our day with abortion on demand goes completely against God's design. That's not what God had intended. Now look at verse 1. She said, Eve did, I have begotten a man from the Lord. She recognized that Cain was a gift from God. Not everybody recognizes that. She realized that that little boy that she held in her arms, Cain, was a gift from God. Now, this is all new for Eve. Do you realize that she had the first baby? There was no doctor. There was no nurse. There's her and her husband. That's it. And, of course, the Lord was there as well. So she delivers her first son. Her second pregnancy brought about Abel, and Abel came into the world. Now, the names of these two boys are this. Cain means acquired. Eve got him from the Lord, and meaning that life comes from God. That's what that means. And then Abel means breath, and it's the same word that is used as vanity in the book of Ecclesiastes, and it tells us life is very brief, that it is but a breath that appeareth for a little time, James said, and then vanisheth away. So Cain was the firstborn, and he was special. But because of a sin, Cain will lose everything, and Seth will take his place. Now, in the book of Genesis, I had never really noticed this or paid attention to this, I should say, until Monday when I was working on a little Bible study for us here tonight. But Ishmael was Abraham's firstborn son by birth. But God didn't use Ishmael. God used Isaac. Esau was Isaac's firstborn. But God chose to use Jacob. Jacob's firstborn was Reuben. But Reuben wasn't the one that God used. Joseph was the one that God used. I had never paid attention to that before until Monday. So there's something else that seems to be true in Genesis as all. Sibling rivalries among brothers seems to be somewhat of a theme throughout some of those guys I just mentioned. A couple years ago, there was a couple of our teenagers, they were messing with each other out here. And they were like roughing it up, and I'm pretty rough. I said, boys, don't hurt each other. Pastor, don't you know the Bible says a brother is born for adversity? I said, well, okay, go ahead, have a good time. Well, it does say that, you know. Now, they were taking it out of context, but they were having a pretty good wrestling match out here. So Ishmael persecuted Isaac. Jacob left home so Esau wouldn't kill him. Joseph's brothers, if you remember, sold him into slavery. Sibling rivalry seems to be a constant theme in the book of Genesis. Now, what's the point of all that, preacher? When sin entered the human race, it gave us what we call today dysfunctional families. And it gave us fractured families. And only the Lord could put families back together again. And while there are fractures and while there are dysfunctional families, I want to say something by word of encouragement. God is still in control, and God can fix things. I have watched God in my office put families together that I'm going to tell you, and I'm not a professional counselor. I took counseling in college, but that doesn't mean I'm qualified to counsel anybody. But I've watched God put families together, and I thought to myself, well, Lord, that was certainly you that did it because it couldn't have been me. What a mess this. And they come in, and their life is a disaster. Of course, that's not true with every family. But he was a brother. And him and his brother, you're going to see here a little bit later on, we're at it. The second thing I want you to notice, though, is in verse 2, Cain was a worker. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So Cain, we would say today, worked in crops. Now, as the boys grew, Adam put them to work. Now, I think that's very important. I think it's very important that you teach your children to work. And as they worked, each boy developed their own interests and their own skills. One liked working with sheep as a shepherd. The other one liked working the ground, is tilling the ground. He was a field farmer. Today, you might call him a cash crop. Abel was a shepherd. Now, do you know why Adam taught his sons to work? Yeah, to punish him. No, that's not why he taught them to work. Work is part of God's creation mandate. That's why. Work isn't punishment from God because of sin. Adam had to work to do in the garden before he and his wife ever yielded to Satan's temptation. So work isn't a punishment. Now, the things that came into the work after Adam and Eve had sinned was, but originally Adam was to be a keeper of the garden. Now, listen, the biblical approach to work is that we are privileged to cooperate with God by using his creation gifts for the good of other people and for the glory of God. Now, I've got several passages that I thought we might take a look at tonight, but I was going to skip them, and I want to say this. Now, we got some brand new parent in here, Brittany and Jimmy. They got a little one, although the other one's a little older. But there's a lot of babies around here. But anyhow, and a lot of little children. You go back in some of these classes, and they're pretty full. There are five things I think every parent should try to teach their children. The first one is obvious. You teach them about God and the Lord. Now, that's a no-brainer, okay? You're a Christian. You're Christian people. You need to teach them about God, and you teach them about the things of the Lord. Beyond that, you need to teach them how to work. I worked in the factory before I was when I was in Bible college, I worked in a small furniture factory, and everybody I hired on my shift was from Bible college. But I can tell you, not everybody from Bible college could work. I had to get rid of some of them, which I hated to do, but it needed to be done. And then I worked at the mill in Camden Ware, and I did a lot of training with a lot of guys. And you know, a lot of them, so one guy made it 4 hours. 4 hours. He goes, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee. I never saw him again. I don't know where he went to get that coffee. I told him to bring me back with cream only, but I never got that either. Then I was working. I actually worked at Spargo Wire when they closed the base in Rome for a few years, just we lost 40% of our congregation at that time. So anyway, I went down to work down there. I trained guy after guy after guy. Most of them never made it. One guy made it almost 8 hours one day. At the end of the day, he says, I got to go talk to our boss. I said, you've been here one day. What can you possibly need to go talk to the boss about? I got to tell him this job is not for me. I said, how do you know this job isn't for you? You've been here one day. Following you around all day, I can never do this all day. I'm thinking, and we had an easy day. I didn't tell him that. But it wasn't even difficult. You need to teach your kids to work. The third thing is you need to teach children to obey. Now, we're in a day which kids don't obey. They don't want to work. They want to get a paycheck without working. Okay, they usually go together. So teach them to obey you. So later on, they obey the police and law, and ultimately they learn to obey God. You got to teach them that. You also have to teach children to serve. Now, there's a serious problem with our young people in that today. Every time they do something for somebody, they expect to be paid. I've put four roofs on people's houses because they needed a roof put on, and they didn't have any money to put them on. One of them I bought the shingles for. They didn't have any money even to buy the shingles, and the roof was horrible. It was ceiling was coming down. I was like, this is awful. So I'll do what I could do. Remember that sermon we heard Sunday night? Do what you can. Well, I can do that. It's not difficult to really put a roof on. I'm not the fastest at it, but it's certainly not hard. So you got to teach them to serve without being paid so they learn to serve others. And the fifth thing you're going to teach them is that ultimately when they get a little older, and this might be the last thing you'll teach them, well, maybe serving is the last thing, but you got to teach them responsibility. You know, there does come a time in a child's life where they shouldn't have to be told to do everything. Now, some of them take a little longer than others to get to that place, okay? But ultimately, I'm going to have a lesson. I never even, a snowmobile in the other day, going for a snowmobile ride, those things were going through my mind. I said, what do we teach our children as we grow? So I came up with those five things. But I think all of them are important that they learn. Now, work in the will of God is not a curse. It's a blessing. Exodus 20 says, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. Work and the Sabbath are both commanded. The Bible has nothing good to say about idleness or slothfulness or laziness or to people to expect others to provide for them. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. There are more people on food stamps right now than any time in the history of America. There are more percentage of people receiving things from the government than any other time. It's just like, okay, it's now we're already broke. And this is just, this isn't proper English, but that's okay. I don't teach English. We're getting broker. Okay, you know what I mean, right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Paul said, listen, we worked, not because we have not power. Paul did have power and authority. If he wanted to ask for money, he could. But he says, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. And the example was to work. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You know what God's chastisement for not working is? Hunger. People get hungry. And so that's what happens. It is. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. They kind of go together because you don't have anything to do because you're not working, so you become a busybody. Now them that are such, we commend and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. How about that? But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And ye that study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without and that you may have lack of nothing. But the whole concept here is work. Ecclesiastes 9:10, Colossians 3, 22 and 23, the same principle. Okay, we work. Now, before Jesus began his public ministry, he was a carpenter. He learned how to work. Paul worked as a tent maker while he was traveling, and he worked to make some a living that way in Acts 18. Christians, we work to pay our bills. They provide for our needs and beyond that. Because it's God-ordained way for us to serve him and others, which ultimately glorifies God. Work isn't a curse. Work is a blessing. We don't work just to make a living. We work to make a life. We try to develop our God-given abilities and seek to increase the quality of life that we have. Maybe the boys ask something like this. Dad, could you imagine being Adam now? Why is this so difficult? Tilling this ground, taking care of these sheep. Then Adam would have had to explain that God cursed the ground because of his own disobedience. That wouldn't have been a good time. Anyways, his brother was Cain was a brother to Abel. He was a worker. Let me say this. You've heard me say this before. Teaching a kid just to work isn't enough. We're not trying to raise good kids. We're trying to raise godly kids. So work isn't enough. The third thing about Cain, and I know my time for this evening and this part of our service is over, but he was a worshiper. But I'll say this, and I guess I'll just stop and pick up here next week. Because the more missionaries we pick up, the more missionary letters I have to read. He was a fake worshiper, and he was a false worshiper. And he did not bring a sacrifice that was acceptable unto God. One of the reasons is, and we'll get into this more next week, he didn't bring a blood sacrifice. And that was part of the problem. But anyway, we'll look at that next week. So even though he was a worshiper, unfortunately, God didn't accept this. God did not have respect to his offering. Father, as we begin to look at these brothers, Cain and Abel, pretty much mostly Cain, and we see the kind of beginning he had, his mom saw his as a gift from you. And then as he grew, she had a brother. He had a brother, rather. And him and his brother had different talents and different traits, just like all of our kids. And then his dad taught him to work, a very commendable thing to do. But that's not enough. And I mentioned a few other areas in which we teach our children. Lord, help us as parents to be able to communicate some of these things to our kids. I have grandchildren. Lord, help me to communicate some of them to my grandchildren. And I pray, Lord, that we would raise up champions for your glory and for your honor. People that love you and serve you and yet are good citizens of our nation. It's a lot of work. It's a high task. But that is a task that you have called us to do. And may we take it very seriously. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me share just a couple of these missions. This is just a missionary we voted to support.